Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Good morning to you. All right, good morning. Hey, welcome. Sunday morning live, Calvary Chapel St. Paul. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Good morning to you. Hey, let's pray. Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we just praise you now, Lord, and just ask God that we'd be lifting up your name. And God, that we believe here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this morning. We just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, are you fatigued? Are you fatiguing? Or are you making it through the Word of God and making it through in life? January of this year, our governor passed a law that was created by the legislature. There is one political party that's in charge now as the majority in all three branches of our government. You figure out what party that is. And the governor signed into law for the state of Minnesota that Minnesota is a sanctuary state for abortion. And not only abortion, but you can have that child aborted on the day that it's due or until it's delivered. There is legislation that is and also from the minority party, 9 to 12 members from the minority party helped pass that legislation in the House, Senate, and the Congress, and the governor signed that into law. In the next 24-25 legislative session, it's been held over. The same legislators in the House, in the Congress, and the Senate are trying to pass a further law saying if you survive an abortion, the doctors don't have to give you any life-saving measures whatsoever. So now if you make it through an abortion, and that'll be passed in the 24-25 general election, depending on who's there. So whatever you do, that's how you're voting. Also, in May of 2023, just a couple of months ago, our governor, with the approval of the majority ruling party, that's over all three branches of government, and from 9 to 12 members from the minority political party, came together. And now, parents, if you don't realize this, if your child is upset with you and you will not identify that child by that child's identity that they choose or their pronoun, and if you refuse them sex changes or sex gender identity operations and stuff, that is now, they rewrote the child abuse laws in the legislature, did the majority political party in power of all three branches of government, and from the minority they got together, and now the child abuse legislation or the laws are that if you refuse to call them by their pronouns, that can be considered child abuse. Your children can be taken away from you. And if you refuse to affirm their gender identity, and if you refuse them to have an operation to change your identity, it is now law in the state of Minnesota as of May 2023. Are you folks paying attention to what's happening in our state? Well, if you're not, are you getting people saved? Because the reality is this, is the government we have, and again, we don't work for the government. They're supposed to be working for us. Is that who you hired? That is how the political process works there. But my conjecture is that I'm going to do whatever I can to be involved in the political process. But here's the problem. The political process has come into the church. It's not the other way around. Is abortion wrong? I participated in abortion, helped others get abortion. Some of you have had abortion. Some of you participate in it. God forgives. I'm grateful for that. All right? So here's the thing that comes out, that God is forgiveness. But when it comes to this process, is it wrong? Is murder wrong? Yes. Is sex outside your marriage wrong? Is same-sex marriage wrong? Again, these are the things that are in God's Word. Find it anywhere in the Bible to where it's right. But now the world is telling us as Christians, as Bible-believing, as born-again, as churchgoers, of how we're supposed to, and we're supposed to accept this. That is the world that we live in, okay? And make no mistake, I've been through this. I've been a Christian 42 years now. Anyone a Christian during the whole Y2K thing, you know, the millennial bug and all kind of stuff like that? I have friends who moved out of various states, especially, I mean, Minnesota emptied out. Christian after Christian were telling them, we're moving, we're getting out of Minnesota, we're getting into this. And then they did stuff like, friends of mine went to Arkansas, and they were building themselves arks. Arks, they called them, arks. And they're going to live on their land, and they're going to do those stuff. And they said, hey, Chick, why don't you and Kimberly come down? I know you guys don't have the money, but me and the group together, we love you guys. You come down, we'll build you an ark, and you can be the pastor of this community. I'm like, well, I already grew up a hippie. That's not going to last long anyway. So, all right, so I already did that route, okay? But all of them, the majority of them aren't even walking with the Lord anymore. All of them are disappointed that Y2K didn't happen. And they left. And now, I don't know if you know the state of Arkansas, what they're going through. It's the same thing that's going to happen in Florida. The same thing's going to happen in Wyoming, Montana. Everyone who's leaving their city, their states, or whatever, is to go to all these other places. And great, you want to stave off and you want to be in a place that kind of arrests it. But are you telling people about Jesus? Or are you just protecting your little surrounding? Listen, I'm going to get to the book of Revelation. When we finish the New Testament, we're going to finish up with the book of Revelation. That's what I'm doing. We already finished the Old Testament. That's what I usually do on Thursday nights. So right now on Thursdays, well, when we start Thursdays back up after on the 19th of October, I'm continuing the New Testament, and I'll finish up with the book of Revelation. But let me give you a spoiler alert. Everything in this world is going to go to a one-world government and a one-world religion and a one way of life. Buying, selling, trading, it's all going that way. So no matter where you move, no matter what you do, it's coming to a town, to a government, to a drag queen library reading in your day. It's coming. It's there. I haven't had to move once. It's all coming here. I don't have to go on the mission field. Mexico's empty. It's coming here. I don't have to go anywhere in the world. It's made missions really, really easy for me. It's very economical now. All right? But the whole thing that happens is that this is the world. That's our government. So again, why aren't you on the school boards? Why aren't you in the city councils? Where's this leadership? Get involved in those things. Get enough people saved and back into the civil government where they belong. And we won't have these type of laws. But when you create a vacuum, it's going to get filled with something. And the devil's right there. I saw this happen in Russia when the wall came down, and I saw this happen in Ukraine. Do you know who the first groups in there were into Russia and into Ukraine? Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons. They were ready, man. Christians, the evangelicals, were like a couple of years behind. And by the time friends of mine were getting there and planting churches and stuff, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons were already there, and they bribed people. They paid them to do things. They made life better for these people. They built up their organizations that way. They got in there first. The world is smart, folks. They have a concerted effort. The devil's been honing his craft for many a years, and those he possesses and those he influences, you know, this is the world that you live in. It's coming. So wherever you are, preach the gospel. That's my whole thing. I'm not about saving America. I'm about saving Americans and any other cans that show up, all right? I'm here about that, and then that will sort of, that'll increase the gene pool of who goes into government, who we want. Those are the people that I want, as closely aligned with my beliefs and my convictions. Now, the way that I used to vote, I was all for abortions because I think it should be legalized. I was around pre-1972. I was all for all that. I was all for the legalization of prostitution, drugs, all drugs, everything. That was my worldview. I was for all of that. And the ones who were against it, I thought you were weird. Well, now I'm weird. Because I was a part of that system, but because of the Word of God, and that's where we're going today, the Word of God, my whole worldview has changed. My whole outlook and why I'm doing these things. And so here, we're going to see the real Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. And remember, the disciples asked him, let me give you an outline for those of you who are really into outlines. And let me get this out of my system because I like outlines there. And so let's look at all the factors of redemption. So here we go. John 17:2. We're going to see salvation there if you want to take notes. And we're going to see the whole, all of redemption. It's in every book of the Bible, but this is the clearest in John chapter 17. This is the clearest outline and easy to understand chapter, I think, of all of the Bible when it comes to this. So in verse 2, we see the salvation. Verse 6, the manifestation of this redemption. Verse 9, the representation of this redemption. Verse 12, the preservation of this redemption. Verses 17 through 19, the sanctification of this whole redemption. Verse 21, this identification of this redemption. And in verse 22, the glorification of this redemption. And then we're going to see some things, because if you've read ahead, and I hope you have, you know that the son of perdition, you know Judas Iscariot is going to be mentioned. And you think of, like, listen, if you're writing a story and you're trying to rewrite history and you don't want to make mention of somebody, you just kind of leave them out. Jesus doesn't. And there's four reasons that I see why Jesus mentions Judas, who betrayed him. One, to show that there was no failure in discharging the trust which the Father had committed to him. Now, Jesus had full disclosure of Judas Iscariot, still partook of what we now call the Lord's Supper, which we're going to do here today. But also, he washed his feet, he ministered to him, still gave him opportunity. Jesus knew everything. You and I don't know everyone, but you and I are still responsible to be like Jesus. And understand this, hopefully you'll catch it by the time we finish John chapter 17, is that we are now the replacement Jesus here on earth, the body of Christ, Jesus. We don't have to, we get to do these things. Jesus has departed, he indwells us now through his Holy Spirit, but we are now his hands and feet. Someone should write a song about it, being hands and feet of Jesus. That'd be a great song. But these are the things, we are the body of Christ, we are the things that Jesus, so again, he shows that there's no failure in discharging the trust which the Father had committed to him. Two, to assure the disciples of this, so that their faith might not be staggered. I mean, he did it for Judas. So let's not any one of us think high and mighty about ourselves. He did this for Judas, and he had full disclosure about Judas. How much more so you and I, when we don't have full disclosure of someone, we're still just responsible to be like Jesus to them. Three, to demonstrate that Christ had not been deceived by Judas. That's why he mentions him. Wasn't deceived by Judas. Wasn't like, how'd this one get by Jesus? That's some of the accusations. How'd this get by Jesus? I mean, if he knew that Judas was going to betray him, why did he let him do that? Well, because of number four, to declare God's hand and counsel in it, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. You know, that's Psalm 41 and Psalm 109, that the scriptures would be fulfilled, that this was going to happen. And we're going to see some things here in John chapter 17. But this is the world, or this is the state, or this is the city, or this is the home, or the family that you're involved with. We should be able to take John chapter 17 and apply it unilaterally all across this globe, or flat earth, whichever you're deciding you're on. But either way, it's God's word here. So in John chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that they also that the Son also may glorify thee for the glory of God. Now listen, at the end of John chapter 14, he said, arise and let's go. My understanding is that Jesus is walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. He has less than 12 hours before he gives up the ghost. This is the last 12 hours of his life. He knows it. The others around him don't know it. Look what he's doing in the last 12 hours of his life. And he's walking to the garden, and now he's going to pray out loud. There's been other times that he's prayed out loud. We see that through the Gospels here. And so, again, I have no problem. I don't think it's irreverent to pray while you're driving. I did have a buddy that used to pray, and we'd have to yell, open your eyes, because he was driving. He literally would close his eyes. Why would stop? Almost ran off the edge of a cliff in Okinawa there. That's another story, another time. But I'm here. But you can drive, and you can pray, and you can do this, and you can walk, and you can pray. This is the thing. Jesus did it. We can do this. But he's praying out loud, and the others are hearing him. They're walking. He has less than 12 hours to live and here on this planet, here on this earth. And he starts saying, but the hour has come. And again, this is like my seventh, really eighth, really time teaching this congregation, going through the Bible with Calvary Chapel St. Paul. I've read the Bible many times. But this is the first time going through it that I realize here, the hour has come, glorify thy Son. This is the seventh time Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, and this is the last time he says it. I have no idea what to do with that. I'll be studying it later. I got some other rabbit trails I'm going on, but it's just interesting to me. So that's how I'm just bringing it out to you. If that troubles you, welcome to my world. So here, thy Son, the hour has come. That, again, that the Son also may glorify thee. That's why we're here, to glorify God the Father. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This next verse is what you need to underline, verse 3. This is the softball, the beach ball, the big ball. When you hear this question ever being asked, when if you're in the proximity of anyone that you hear when they say, what's the meaning of life, or what's eternal life, or what does that mean? You have it right here. You have the answer. I want you to feel horrible if you don't give this answer. I want you to just feel miserable like I have before when I've been given those questions and those people asking those, and I'm just like, just being quiet. But I also want you, most importantly, is not to feel horrible, but is to take that opportunity and give verse 3 and the feelings and the outcome of what happens by being faithful to this. You and I have been entrusted with the very word of God. Verse 3, and this is eternal life. This is why the Gospel of John chapter 17, very easy to understand. What is eternal life? What is it to have eternal life? What is it? Is there a life after this? You ever hear that? You knock people down out of the way, pray for healing for them later, get to that person and say, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Christ is not his last name, it's Messiah. Some of your translations have it, the Messiah, that Jesus, the Messiah Jesus. That you might know the one true God. Now, as I grew up in a cult called the Christian Science Church, I believed I was metaphysical. I was my own God, creator of my own destiny, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't. I found out there was a God. I wasn't him. I was in a lot of trouble. Now I'm with the Lord. But understand this, that as I was taught that Jesus, after the time of 12, because we read about him in the Gospels there, last time we hear of him is at the temple about the age of 12. And then we don't hear of him again in the Gospels until he's around 30. I was told during those silent years, Jesus went to the Far East and learned from all the gurus and yogis and boo-boos and all the ascended masters and learned from them, learned all their ancient secret stuff, and he came back. If that's true, then Jesus transgressed the very gurus who told him that there's many gods and we can all be God, because Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. It's okay to be narrow-minded when you're right. I mean, he's God, right? He says, there's no one. That's it. I'm it. I'm the door. I'm the rock. I'm that light. I'm that bread from heaven. He's using every analogy he can to get it across them. It's me. I am God in the flesh. The Word of God, John 1:1, was the, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Now remember, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are the first ones to get into Russia and Ukraine, the former Soviet Union, and they brought in their New World Demonic Translation, called New World's Translation, and they say Jesus was, and the word was Aga. Some of you know that. And the Mormons get in there and they say that Jesus was the half-brother of Lucifer, and they had a fight over earth, and Jesus won. You know, he was the favorite child. You know, there's always a favorite child in every family, and Jesus was the one, and that's why there's enemies, sibling rivalries, Lucifer. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is also Michael the Archangel. There's all types of weird and strange things out there. If Jesus learned from the ascended masters and the gurus of the Far East and all that Eastern mysticism, then he has transgressed the number one rule by saying that there was only one God, and he went in even further and said that he was God. So again, that's something that got me. Do you see the Word of God? When I read this, I'm like, huh. If I'm reading this right, Jesus says there's only one God, and he's it. And if I'm reading this right in verse 3, and that this is eternal life, that that might know thee, the only true God, and that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work to which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, O Father, glorify thou me in thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. We're, again, Before the world was, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Before the formation of the world, they already had perfect fellowship. And all this was going on, and that is God in the flesh. That is the incarnate God in human form. And so here I had all this. Now I'm going back to this. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given, gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them, and they have kept thy word. Now again, he's talking about the 11, because Judas has already left to go to betray Jesus, bring the final betrayal. And they've kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I mean, they can't get away from it. Seeing the dead rise, seeing the sight given to the blind, the lame walk, seeing all these miracles, seeing all these things, and the very words of Jesus, and all he's giving, all Jesus ever said was Scripture, what we know is the Old Testament, and fulfilling that. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. We look at that intimacy. See, you see this? Jesus is walking along, and he's talking to his heavenly Father. They're all hearing this as they're on the way to the garden tomb. They don't know that this is the last 12 hours of Jesus' life. They don't know within just a few hours they're all going to depart and scatter from him. They don't know that he's going to go through 6 illegal trials. Read ahead for John chapter 18 next week. He's going to go through 6 illegal trials, 3 Jewish and 3 Roman government ones. He's going to go all these things, and he's going to be put to death. They don't understand this, and he's praying. And that's why they look at that intimacy that Jesus had with the Father, and that's why they said, teach us to pray. There's something about your life and that intimacy that I want too. That's our responsibility now, Christians. Do people look at our lives, and they want what we have in a relationship with the Lord? Do they want the relationship that we have? That intimacy that we have with the Lord. Well, if you don't have it, then they're not going to ask for it. If all you have is homes, cars, jobs, work, school, play, possessions, and things, those things, then that's the thing. I get into this whole thing about, you know, now you can, there's this thing called noun self. Now you can call yourself a noun. You can call yourself a noun. All right, so I'm going to call myself my stomach hungry, or Budapest, because that's the capital of Hungary, and that's where all the food needs to go. So my stomach now goes by the name Budapest, all right? Now you can call yourself a thing, you can call yourself this, all this is the world that we live in. And now he says, they've known me, and I'm praying for them. Remember, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 7:25 tells us that at this point, Jesus lives to ever make intercession for you and I. Jesus Christ is interceding for you and I. You know that if you look up in the loft up there, that's where my prayer team is for both services and when we start on Thursdays again. Sometimes you see some people praying for me on Thursdays. You might see Dan underneath a lone tree. That's just Dan anyways. And I have people there specifically. That's what that area is for prayer, for during the service, for everything that goes on here, for the message, for distractions, for things, and just praying for the service and praying that the word of God goes out. That's what that's for. There's that intercession that's going on. Don't pray out loud up there, folks. I can hear you. All right? So, but Jesus is praying and he's interceding for you and I, Hebrews 7:25. And he says here that I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And this, remember, Jesus is glorified in us and through us by the things that we do, really, in his name. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Union and unity are two separate things. He wants us to be in union with one another. Unity, well, my job, as it tells me in Ephesians chapter 4, that my job as a pastor is to keep preaching and teaching the Word of God until we all become united and unified in the Word of God. So that means I have job security, okay? until we're all united in them. But we can have differences of things. Like this church, Seventh-day Adventist Church. They've asked us not to bring coffee up here or eat any food or anything up here in the sanctuary. Okay, great. That's why we got the fellowship hall. But they've also asked, because they keep to Leviticus chapter 11, the kosher laws, they've asked us to not partake of those things. You have to read, you know, they're mainly concerned with the pork and the shellfish, all right? And as we were making the deal to meet here, we were in union of, and we were union of, yes, Jesus Christ crucified. We're not in agreement on which day, and I'm grateful that they believe that they meet on a Saturday because that gives us Sunday. So this works out great. And I said, listen, we're the weaker brethren when it comes to that. Pray for us. And if we consider you the weaker brethren, we'll pray for you. So we're both weak, we're both strong in certain areas. But when it came time to make the deal to meet here, we went through everything, and they said, well, we just got to bring up one thing, you know, the kitchen and the use of the kitchen, because we do a Thursday night meal here from 5:30 to 7 on Thursdays when we start meeting, in the same way as the park. And I said, you know what? I went through the Bible, and I had it all memorized. I said, we're not going to partake of, and I went through every animal in Leviticus there, except for two, the swine and shellfish, all right? And they're looking at me, and I go, but you're probably concerned about the swine and the shellfish. And they're like, yes. I said, okay. So we can have union in this. It's Christ crucified, right? He says, listen, we can give up pork products for a couple hours. It's going to be tough, but for a couple hours. You have no problem if we eat pork and it's in us when we come in. Because, no, that's different. All right, so that's pigs in a blanket. So I had to. But I said, but you've been to our website. Yeah. You know it's probably curious to you that we'll rent any place to meet for church, but we've owned a coffee house for 20 plus years. And you go, yes. Well, our deal breaker is coffee. They're like, wait, we got to have coffee. We got to have coffee on Sundays. And they look at me, is that really a deal breaker? Well, let me ask you folks, is that a deal breaker? Yeah, okay. Some are like, I don't drink coffee. That's it. For those who drink coffee, is that a deal breaker? Yeah. So I looked at them and I go, it's coffee. Can we have coffee here? And they go, really? It's a deal? I go, listen, we're the weaker brethren, remember? We need coffee. All right, so pray for us. We think you're the weaker brethren because you're missing out on pork, okay? But we'll pray for each other. We're united on this, and we have union on this, but the other things we're not. They're like, yeah, we don't think coffee kills you as fast as the other stuff. Go right ahead. Thank you. And they laugh. And we laugh, and we can do that. We can see that we have union of things, that we're together in Christ crucified, but meeting on Sunday or Saturday or coffee or shellfish or whatever, then we can just pray for one another. So we might not be united on everything, but we have union of those things. Those are the things that you need to strive to contend with others. And it's for the glory of God. And he tells us here, "Not, I am no more in the world." You understand, this isn't our home. Now, I'm enjoying a lot of things here, especially in, you know, America. Everything I'm enjoying in the United States. But this world is not my home. And look at Jesus. He wants to be back with the Father. He wants to be back at, you know, pre-Genesis 1:1. He wants to be there. I mean, that's his goal. He's here to glorify the Father, but he's like, this is not my home. I want to make it clear. I'm just visiting here. I'm only here to accomplish this. And once this is accomplished, I get to go home. That should be the same. We're to be like Jesus. I'm not worried about anything that just goes on here except for salvation. And I want to have a better society here. I want more people to get saved so we can have better school boards and city councils and mayors and governors and presidents and elected officials. And I would like that, but it hasn't gotten better in this universe and in this world. It hasn't gotten better. We've only been able to, again, stave off and hold off some of the corruption. But if you haven't been paying attention to what's been happening here, they've been quietly passing legislation and more things are coming out. What are you going to do? The world has come into us. It's not political. I'm not making a political thing out of this. But if that's our belief that there's only two genders, what are you going to do when you're challenged with it? If you're told that if your child identifies as something else, they still cannot get an aspirin from the school nurse, but they can get an abortion and they can get secretly sex changed. Do you remember a few years ago, pre-COVID, that a couple of the East African Somali moms, Ethiopian Somali moms, went to Michigan to get female genital mutilation, female circumcision, from a doctor in a legit hospital, and when they came back to Minnesota, they were arrested? Well, all those charges have been dropped, and the reason why they were dropped, is because legislation was passed that that's a religious thing and we can't allow that. That's okay now. You can do that now. It's not against the law now in the state of Minnesota. So you don't have to go to another state. Our governor's saying that Minnesota is a sanctuary state for, you can come from other states if you want to come here and get an abortion. Oh, by the way, your tax dollars are helping people come to this state to get these things. Those are the elected representatives. Let's get enough people saved and those things will change. But they're not going to change because until I changed, until Christ came into my life, my whole worldview was for this world. What? I'm not surprised, and do not be surprised when you send your kids to Caesar schools that they come back acting like Romans. Do not be shocked and surprised. Don't come to me and say, I can't believe what they're doing there. Well, look where you're sending them. Well, I can't afford this. I can't afford that. Well, then let's work together, body of Christ. Let's do some things that if that's where you're going to send them, don't be surprised when they come back saying, I'm going to call Child Protective Services on you. Do you know there's children in this church right here that I've had to scold there? It says you're threatening your parents because they're told in school if you disagree with your parents, that's another form of child abuse now, and you can use that against them? And you parents cave to that? I'll tell you the same thing I've told my kids. You want out of this family? You have options now. Go. Go. And I'm telling you, parent, call their bluff. And they're going to go through some horrendous things. Just be there when they come back, whatever body they're in. Because they will come back. And you're trying to save them, but you got to go. Some of them are their age. You just got to let them go. We had one in this church where his son would not do his homework, wouldn't do these things. Argued with his dad. They were divorced. He was in another home. He called the police on him. They had to investigate it. Told his boy at the age of 12 or 13, says, that's your decision. Says, well, if you come to my house, you got to get up, you got to go to school, you got to do your homework, you got to do those things. And you're going to claim that's abusive? He goes, yeah. See you when you're 18. That boy comes to church here now. He's in his 20s and brings people here. See you when you're 18. And they have a relationship now. But because you're in fear, I want you to understand, Satan has empowered children to rule families. What are you going to do, Christian, as a parent? What does God's word say? As I tell my kids and I tell everybody here, you can find a better gig than Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. You can find a better gig than me and your mom. You probably should go. Because I'm not apologizing for anything when it comes to the word of God. And now it just comes down to it. And you children who have been empowered by the state to do all that kind of stuff like that, shame on you if you use that against your parents. I would encourage you to go find another church. Have your parents drop you off somewhere else. That too tough for you? You should find another church and go somewhere else. Because I'm here about the glory of God. I'm here when it says, and now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep in thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. Listen, families, listen, church. If we are not all in this together, working at being one, we're failing each other. We might not be united on every specific thing. My firm stance on how I raise my children, how I'm pastoring this church might not agree with you. God bless you. Go find something else. But I will strive and I will work with you so we can become one. I understand there might be some differences of opinion. I might have some experiences and you might have some experiences. Let's take it to the Word of God and let's find the answer in the Word of God together and let's agree upon that. My views have changed over the years because of God's Word. I rather have the right heart and the wrong facts than the right facts and the wrong heart, because my facts can change in an instant, but it takes a lifetime to change the attitude and affect the heart. So have an open heart and be willing to be wrong, but come and find it in the Word of God, not feelings, not emotions. It says here in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Remember, no harm came to them while Jesus was with them. When Jesus is going to depart, those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, this is Judas, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. This word, we our English language is a technical language. We kind of miss some things here. What Jesus is saying here is that Judas was never really of us, except the son of perdition. He was, again, in our group, but he was never really of the faith. There could be people here today that Jesus Christ is not your Savior and Lord. You like hanging out with us? Because, by the way, we have a lot of good food here. And in the places we can eat pork, we throw down, do we not? And it's nicknamed Calorie Chapel. The spiritual leaders are evident, right? And so this is the thing, is that we can do these things, and we talk about it. Did you not know that they got deep-fried cheese curd? Deep-fried cheesecake? Cheese curd cheese steak. Oh, my heavens. The state fair is where diets go to die, right? All right. There you go. Just walk around, eat all the food, get your steps in. I don't know if it'll do that, but I like going there, and I just hear the blood thickening in my arteries. It's a great sound. I was with them in the world, I kept them. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Not happiness. The United States Constitution only guarantees the right to pursue happiness, but I'm talking about joy. And again, that they might be fulfilled, and they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You should be hated. I know that I am. I know I call our attorney general the attorney gangster. I know when this last thing, and are you prepared? I mean, are you prepared? Are you reading? Go get off of the media and go find your other sources. You know, you have to intuitively know. The Holy Spirit has to be prompting you. We're a Holy Spirit-filled church here. The Holy Spirit has to be prompting you that what happened in the last few years was just a warm-up to what's coming next. And a lot of power was gained by little bureaucrats, which they didn't expect it, but they got it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do for those of you who are going to travel in October when the TSA is all ramped up to bring back the masks on the planes? That's already there. What are you going to do when they're trying? And we already know, with all the information out there, with the vaccinations and the masks and stuff and how useless it was. I mean, just look at the country of Sweden alone that didn't do any of that. And their death rates are low. And no one's dying of any sudden heart attacks and things like that are, you know, sudden death syndrome, whatever that is. It's not that thing you're thinking about. We know it's not that, but we don't know what it is. And these are the things that are going on. Are you prepared for what's coming next? You prepared? It's just a couple of weeks, just a couple of weeks to stop the spread. Just a couple of more weeks than the mandate just to this. Have you, Kimberly and I, because we just have grandkids now that come and visit, but we don't have our kids, so we eat out a lot. We like going places because we can afford it. But the places that are closed because of staffing. You know, this next round, if it goes the way that I think it's going to go, pretty much all your mom and pop places are going to close up. They're not going to be able to survive. So go and see them all that you can right now. Go to all those small diners. Go to and enjoy it. Give them all the money you can. Go and enjoy whatever you can because those are going to be gone because a lot of them are already gone. If you don't know, I'm from St. Paul. 60% of all the mom and pop shops in St. Paul, whether the restaurants and the small business, gone, never to return. And there's barely 40% that are open still, that their hours are all limited there. I mean, oh, the suffering that I can only get the best barbecue on the east side on Thursdays, Friday, and Saturdays. But I know those dates and those hours. Just can't go to those things all the time. Are you prepared? Where's your faith and where's your convictions and where is it bringing? Are you given the word of God? Look what it says, I pray not that they shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You don't like it here? Talk to Jesus about it. Because verse 15, do you understand the spoiler alert in Revelation? It's all leaning that way. The Antichrist doesn't show up and all of a sudden create all this. You couldn't have told me 42 years ago how you could shut down the whole world in fear. I know now. You couldn't have told me 42 years ago, studying prophecy that I'm reading, that people will be restricted from buying and selling and trading and all those things, that you're going to be reduced to Amazon and DoorDash and all those things. You're going to be reduced to online shopping and all those things. You're going to be reduced and they'll be able to restrict and all this stuff. You couldn't tell me 42 years ago. 42 years ago, I was already hearing in prophecy studies, transhumanism, gender reassignment. I was already hearing that 42 years ago. Sounded like science fiction. I was around before the internet and flip phones and cell phones and stuff. We thank Star Trek for that. That's why we got flip phones. You understand that, right? I understand all these things. Doesn't shock me and surprise me now that it's all leading to that. Things have already been set up for that to go that way. So where are you going to move? Where are you going to go? How are you going to hold off? We'll never be a Chicago, by the way. I'm from Chicago. We'll never turn in. People leave the city same because they think we're turning in. It can't happen here. The different demographics, different things that are going on, why it's happening in Chicago. But it won't happen here. But they're still going to be going for the government control and do those things. What are you going to do, Christian? It's going to happen everywhere. Like I said, all my friends who split and went to Arkansas and Missouri and set up their arcs and stuff, most of them aren't even walking with the Lord, don't even have those properties anymore. Actually, a lot of them sold their properties because they made a lot of money because the property went up, especially around Branson. Did all those things. They made a lot, and they're out living their best life now or whatever. But they all left. That was the thing. I don't know if you were here in Minnesota, especially in the city of St. Paul, Christian after Christian after Christian, moving out to Y2K, Y2, we got to get out here, we got to get there, we got to go there, we got to get this. And that was the testimony. That was the testimony, driving around when I was a chaplain with the police department, driving around the city of St. Paul and seeing homes going up for sale and stuff, and everyone just getting out and talking to longtime cops like, oh man, these crazy people, thinking that's going to happen. I'm like, it left me a target-rich environment. Why am I staying? Why am I doing? Because whatever's going to happen the rest of the world, we're just further ahead here in the state of Minnesota. I'm not going to have to wait 3 months what's going to happen in Florida and Wyoming and Colorado. Well, Colorado, forget about Colorado. California, it's done anyways. I don't have to wait what's going to happen in the rest of the country because our governor and this legislature, they're already progressive and they're already going for it. And great. Great that you got all your food and stuff like that. But what if it lasts more than 3 months? What are you going to do? I'm just going to starve now. God has designed our bodies. If you don't drink water in 7 days, you're going to die. And your body can survive up to 40 days without food before it starts eating itself. So I've got anywhere from 7 to 40 days before I go to see Jesus. And that's where I want to be. But you don't like what's happening right here? Jesus said, don't let them leave. Protect them from the evil one. You stay there. I don't know what state you're going to go to, what county you're going to go to, what other country you're going to go to. I have friends who expatriated during the Y2K to Panama and to Costa Rica. Costa Rica. Send them brochures. Costa Rica is great. The economy there, it's a capitalist economy, stuff like that. The number one industry in Costa Rica now is kidnapping. You made it easy for them to go to Costa Rica with all your money to go down. They're like, hey, we don't have to travel. There they go. Kidnapping. You go into Costa Rica, but everyone's like, got to go to Costa Rica. You can buy property in Panama. You can do all this stuff. Do you know what's going on in Panama and Costa Rica right now? It all caught up. It's all going to be here. Revelation tells us it's all going that way. So if we know it's going that way, what's our job? What's our responsibility? To let people know what eternal life is, right? Verse 3, chapter 17. There's only one true God. It's Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. And what's our job? To do the will of God? I pray, verse 15, pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want 2 Timothy 3:16. Tells us where the word of God is God-breathed, and it has all the answers for life and godliness. It has all the answers for training and correcting and rebuking in righteousness, so the man and woman of God can be thoroughly equipped, right? Verse 18, as though thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. That's why we're here. Why am I here? Here it is. This is, I don't know what other interpretation you can get from this. That's why we're here. You're in the world, you're alive right now, for the glory of God, to live your life in such a way that people said, I want that too. I want the God that you have. I want the prayer life that you have. I want the relationship that you have. I want the God that you believe in that will make you say you'll stand for something, not fall for everything. And when it comes in the face of this, now whatever decisions that I make, and I as the pastor of this church, and you go, you stay, you go, whatever you want, that we're going to do, I'm ready to accept the consequences. That's why the last go around, I said we're not closing the church. I sent certified letters to the governor and to the attorney gangster, and I sent them links. I would send them constantly. You know, here's what I said. Here's that. Just in case someone tries to tell you something, here's exactly what I said. And I would send that to them for months. I'm all in. You want me? I'm right here. I'm still here, by the way. I'm still set up. But I'm all in. You're going to do this. Let me be the first in line. Let's just get it over with. If there's someone that needs to be executed, there's not someone that needs to be jailed, there's someone needs to be an inspiration, I guess I'll do it. But I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Throw me in jail, I get my old chaplain office back. Very good. All these things for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And look what he says here. Neither pray I for these also alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Were any of you alive 2,000 years ago? No. All right? So here, right now, he's telling you, you're here because Hebrews 7:25, he's living to make intercession. That they all may be one as thou, the Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Why do you have the morals and the values and the convictions you have? Where do they come from? I can tell you where they came from before, but I can tell you the way that I'm living my life now, and then what's happening right now is because I come here. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. We want to be like Jesus. See, he's departed this earth. And you and I are now Jesus, the body of Christ. You and I are now the hands and the feet, the eyes, the ears, the nose here and the toe jam. We're all the body of Christ. We all have a purpose, right? And so you and I are here for the glory of God. If you're miserable, and that's the whole thing, Christian, the depressed Christian, oxymoron, doesn't go together. If we're not filled with the joy, not the happiness, but the joy that comes from knowing Christ, and we're going to be hated and we're going to be despised, the children of Israel will promise, keep these commandments and do these things and I'll protect you and you'll be safe. None of these diseases, none of these other things will happen to you. What does Jesus promise you and I? Accept me and you will be persecuted. You're going to be strange to the world, and you'll be strange to other Christians who you're not united with. They might know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but they have different quirks and things. Okay, how does that thing make you more like Jesus? That's my question is, you have this bit of truth, you have this knowledge, you have this quirky little thing that I think is quirky. How does that make you more like Jesus? How does that fulfill the Great Commission? How does that get that out to people? My friends who believe that God only saved a certain elect, I said, why don't you give them a shirt? Some lives matter. They're like, oh, I'm not going to wear that. Well, that's what you believe. That's your theology. Go be loud and proud about it. Why hide it if that's what you are? So here's the thing that comes down to you and I, that we be one. Listen, that they know, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and thou hast loved them as thou as thou hast loved me. I joined the Marine Corps not because I had a hatred for the enemy. I was just after Vietnam. And I didn't join the Marine Corps because I hated and I wanted to kill people and break things, which is what we do. But I joined the military because I love my country. Because I love the people and I like the United States of America, which is, I think, is the greatest country in America. That's my geography, all right? It's because of my love for this country. It's why I wear a shirt. I served in the defense of strangers. What do you think I will do for my grandchildren? Protect it and stuff. And that's the whole thing. Because of my love. Jesus Christ did not come because he hated the devil so much and he wanted to ruin his day. Jesus did not come and pay the price for our sins because he hated all the people who would, and he was glad that they would go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's yours and I's commission as Jesus here on earth while we're still here. That they will know that you love them and how I've loved them, they'll know that. And we are... We are a crazy family. We're in union of things. We don't question anyone's salvation here. If you don't drink coffee, we accept you. You're limited. Some we've converted. It's okay. You're believers now. But the thing is that we're in union. There's smoothies at the coffee house too, by the way. Listen, that they may know, Father, I will that thy also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. I want to be with the glory of God. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, it comes down to that really, when it comes down to that love of God, that the world's only going to know that. We see the working of the Father in a few things here in John chapter 17. Verse 4, he's glorified the Father on earth. That's our job. That's our response. We don't have to. We get to. Remember, Jesus said in John 17, on his way to the garden, says, my work here is finished. Well, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he already lived his life in such a way that he says, my work here is finished. I've got a few hours left. There's nothing left for us to do for our salvation. We get to participate with the divine will of God. So again, what is it that Jesus now, through the Holy Ghost, is living in through us to glorify the Father here on earth? 2, finish the work given him. Everybody needs to get saved. That's the work. What is the work? What is it, the will and work of God? To let people know, verse 3, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and there's only one true God. That's the work. There's no hammer and nails involved, folks. It's just to go and tell people what eternal life is. That's it. That's what we get to do. 3, he manifested the Father's name. Why do you do this? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. That's verse 6. Verses 8 and 14, and give them the Father's words. That's all we're to do. The same thing Jesus says. Everything that I'm saying, I've heard from my Father. We just give people the very words of God. Verse 12, kept them as a shepherd would. That's my responsibility as a pastor. That's your responsibility as a fellow Christian, is to look out for your brothers and sisters and to be there with them, to keep them. Verse 18, send them in the world. I wonder what it would look like if we came up with like a ministry, philosophy of ministry of reach, teach, mend, and send. That's all I'm about. Reach people, teach them, mend them. Why? Because there hasn't been one person who's ever shown up to church going, not broken, perfectly entire, lacking, not wanting anything. We tithe double. Everything is going great. Have never had one crossword to say to anybody, I am perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That's my positive confession. No, you get the mend part, right? We're broken vessels. Crack pots, by the way. And he send them into the world. And then verse 22, given the glory of the Father. Given the glory of the Father. I've given them the word that thou hast given me. Those are the things that we get to partake, Christians. That's what we get to do. So again, you can take my example. I didn't join the military because I wanted to kill people and break things. That was just a bonus. But my thing was is that I love my country. Even as the criminal that I was, I still had pride for my country and I wanted to defend it because of the love. How much more so now as a Christian? That's why when I became a Christian, I did my last 2 years in the Marine Corps as a believer. I thought I was going to stay in. I thought I was going to be a government-paid missionary for 30 years and get a pension, but God had other plans for me. I don't want to leave you hanging. That's next week, but I became a pastor. But the thing is that I did my last 2 years in. I'm like, well, if I could have done that for Satan, how much more for God? I don't need to be this timid, shy little person, the meekness. I'm going to just be out there loud and proud and bold for Jesus. I'm going to be out there telling people because this is easy. The work of Jesus is easy. We get an opportunity September 16th. The Wiper Avenue Parade's coming back. And so, again, if you haven't gotten the church email, there's a tune-up meeting on Wednesday the 13th and Friday the 15th. And NYG, young men and women, are going to be leading all the various things. And there's something for everybody to do. We're gonna hand out bottles of water during the parade and business cards with with two questions on them. Does your relationship with God make you sure you go to heaven when you die? And what would you say God's requirements are for you to get into heaven and come to Sojourner's Cafe? I know the Bible says give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, but the bottles are going to be easier for us, okay? Bottles will be easier. And then we're going to have people coming past our float. Our float happens to be a truck and a trailer. As we're handing it up, and there's going to be people with trash bags, and we're going to be picking up crushed bottles, and we're going to be cleaning up our own mess. We're going to be a testimony and a witness, and they're going to ask us, why do you do that? Because we're here to glorify the Father. We're here, and they're going to ask us, and we're going to be able to get into conversations with people all along the parade route. That's what we get to do Saturday, September 16th. You're going to join us? You're going to be a part of it? You get to. You don't have to. You get to. So a lukewarm bottle of water. No, we'll try to chill it up if we can. And we're going to get the opportunity on White Bear Avenue that goes right to the front of the coffee house to get to tell people about Jesus and get in the conversation. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We just ask your blessings upon this time. And may we just go forth and reach, teach, mend, and send. In Jesus' name, amen.